This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back. Now, let's pick up where we left off.
We're Luna.
And this is Gayotic. Our podcast about absolutely nothing and yet everything, hosted by us homosexuals
who all share one brain cell.
Oh my god.
I'm Josette.
I'm Katie.
I'm Naomi.
The three of us have been in a band together for years. We've been friends for a decade, and we've been gay since the beginning of time.
Oh yes.
Wow.
Welcome back.
To the big show.
What is that show? Gayotic. Can you believe that? Can you believe in that?
Can you believe in it?
I believe in God.
I can too, because
I actually can't. I don't know.
let's open that up.
I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know whether to believe in God, which is why we had to have our guest on today to really get into it, because our guest today is one of the leading
figures.
I would say figures in God science.
In God science and the field of whether or not to believe in God. And we're really excited. Actually, this is going to be a kind of a different format episode, because our guest is just going to actually has prepared kind of like a 40 minutes of a presentation on the deity and the existence or non-existence of that deity. So
please welcome to the podcast,
drum
God
roll.
Expert, Grace Kuhlenschmidt. Is that how you say your last name?
Hey, yeah, that is.
Wow.
Good job.
I'm fucking awesome.
You are fucking awesome.
So good.
I quit.
That was good. So tell us about it.
Well, I just wanted to, yeah, I'm just like hoping that people can listen along to this podcast and have their Bibles out so that we can kind of go page by page.
We're narrowing it down.
So we're doing Christian.
We're narrowing it down.
That's
so
Christian or
is it Catholic? So it is Christianity.
We've eliminated all others.
You guys, when we're speaking about God, we know there's only one.
Yeah, so nobody said God.
I know, that's right. My grandma, Grandma Zita, if you're listening to this.
She won't.
She knows that's right.
Yeah.
So when did you first talk to God?
You know, it's
when
so,
did you guys
like,
meet?
I'm honestly, like, so glad you guys brought this up, because I was thinking the other day, like, how I feel so genuinely, well, now I forget the word, but agnostic. That's the word.
Like, let's talk. Okay,
I'm
to
like,
keep
it
real,
down.
Let's talk about it.
I'm like,
I do want to.
Atheism, sure. Like, I totally understand it. But I'm like, how the actual fuck am I supposed to know?
I completely agree.
This is what I have been saying for time.
I think if you're, I'm going to say something really hardcore. I think if you're an atheist, you maybe have like you've had a really bad stuff happen to you, and
ooh,
you have a pretty negative
outlook
on life.
But I think like,
not saying it's wrong. But I do think.
Also people with like religious trauma.
I totally
understand.
I think you've had to have some sort of trauma.
You're maybe like a guy.
You're like a white guy who's like,
that's
in his,
a different kind of trauma.
Who's like,
20s.
Actually, have you ever heard of logic and making a logical proof using like.
And also, Ayn Rand rocks.
And
I
also
love
like a straight A student
or
something, too.
Yeah.
Like, you
yeah,
kind of
yeah,
have to
yeah,
be a teacher's pet a little bit. Like, a little yeah, bit of like a know it all.
Which, in a way, is like its own form of, you know, religion.
I will say this. No, I actually am not going to say that, because it's
actually
not true.
Won't.
I was going to spread.
You. I was actually nervous that you were going to say that.
I was going to spread misinformation, but I'm deciding against it. I do think to okay, so
if we make a commercial for this podcast, that it needs to just be a clip. That needs to be one of the clips. I will say this. Actually, I won't say that. Because people are going to be like, whoa.
Now that I'm a globally renowned public figure, I really have to be really careful about what I say. And I choose my words really carefully, which is why we have this podcast.
You know, speaking of podcasts, I heard that you're now a professional podcaster, as is our job.
Yeah.
As professional podcasters.
This is a conference business.
A really nice way to make seven figures a year.
Literally, absolutely. We decided this and we said we're gonna do this art form as well as the other art form that we do for seven figures.
Yeah, because you know, like we all have, each of us have four kids, so that's 12 kids total. So
we need to be making 14 figures a year.
Just, like, I'm also glad you guys are putting kind of music on the back burner. I know people have been requesting that you do put it aside for a bit.
Yeah, they say stop, stop, stop,
take a break.
You work so hard.
It sounds bad. It's ouch. It's actually even hurting my ears.
Right, exactly.
So they're saying, please stop and, you know, focus on your kids.
Right. When I saw you guys in concert, I was holding a sign. I don't know if you guys saw it. It said, just end now as soon as you can.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Wait, which concert did you see?
I saw you guys at
I made eye contact with you at Govball.
I know, it was fucking cool.
That was so funny.
Wait, can you guys tell that story?
Yeah, tell it in a very intense way.
From my perspective, it's that I knew Grace was coming to the show. We walk out on stage, and very earnestly, it was an overwhelming moment because there were a ton of people in the crowd. So we were like, we walk out and we're like, holy fucking shit.
We were there with Phoebe, right?
Yeah, we were like, all y'all came to see us. Maybe not. Maybe you came to see Phoebe. That's cool too. We're happy that everyone was there. And then I was like, I'm going to try to find you in the crowd. And I was like, there's no fucking way. And then a few songs in, I feel like I saw you with your girlfriend. And I was just like, I just started laughing. I couldn't believe that I actually found you.
It was also a huge crowd. Like,
it was probably crazy.
Like 20 to 30 rows back.
Just like mobs
of people.
So would you say that was your favorite show of all time? Or
yeah, imagine I was like, that was my first concert.
That would be cute.
Hey, you'd be shook.
That would be really cute at 27. It was so good though, genuinely. It was fun.
Thank you. Do you remember what your first concert actually was?
It's a toss-up between two because I don't know when they happened. But it's either the Beach Boys or like whoever's still alive, obviously.
Sure.
Or Weird Al Yankovic.
No fuck yeah.
So
where were they
at?
How was
Weird Al? That's really what I want to dive into. Honestly, an amazing talent.
A talent,
of course.
Sure.
I mean, talent that, like, you can't recreate it today. I think that, like, he would get canceled if any of his stuff was, like...
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? If it was, like, modernized, like, it just wouldn't really work.
I would say anything that we grew up consuming in terms of comedy, you could
canceled.
Never do it now.
Exactly.
It would get canceled.
It's
Speaking
real.
Of comedy...
Wait, I want to say... I want to back it up.
Okay,
I want to
back
it up and be, like, kind of serious for a second.
Okay.
Because I want to give...
Okay.
Back to God.
Not to God.
Well, I want to give at least an attempt at actually introducing who you are, which is that you are a comedian.
Is that how you self-identify?
Well,
I mean, you're also an actor.
Thank you for including that one.
And you also are an amazing dancer.
Doesn't get said enough, but is
it
so
get
true.
Said enough.
I would say also an amazing cook. I've seen some beautiful meals.
Is that
prepared.
Real?
I actually am a pretty good cook. Except,
really?
Except the last podcast I was on Pat Regan and Catherine Cohen's podcast, and I brought up these frozen chicken nuggets that I've been cooking recently, and
Delicious.
Pat was like, "Oh my God, you are such an amazing cook," and I thought that was so funny because to him. Frozen chicken nuggets meant that I cook.
So he was saying that like with genuine earnestness,
like you
in
to
his
him
heart.
using an oven is cooking. So
that's
I would just
so
say like
cute.
I'm not a like chef, but I absolutely use my appliances and my gas bill is high.
I think that fucking counts.
And that, you know, screams wealth.
What I will say, and I'll actually say it this time, is people, this is sort of one of those riveting conversations that the zeitgeist likes to have about LA versus New York City. These are two places, right, in America, and they're different sides of the country. And And in New York, people actually don't cook in their homes.
No.
And in LA, it's frowned upon if you don't cook.
Yeah, because we're never leaving our homes.
Well, I think it's like in New York, it's like, where's the kitchen?
It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's hard out there.
Yeah.
Where is the kitchen? No, that is a thing for people. The apartment usually, the kitchen is literally the size of like a shoebox.
Even wealthy people, if you can believe, even rich people's homes in Manhattan, they only have like one burner on their damn stove. It's so sad. That's what
my girlfriend Allie says, that people in New York, and no offense, but she says that people in New York are like gaslighting themselves, because like she'll have like rich friends who have like a doorman, but their apartment also has rats.
Yeah.
And it's like there's just a certain certain tolerance
for like.
Did you
guys see the Julia Fox like apartment tour where she was like, I have mice in my apartment, but I'm like just cohabitating and I don't like care.
She's a queen for that.
Take care of the. I really identify with that. Actually,
that's so you.
I literally heard something scurrying in my wall recently, and I was like, I don't want to do anything about this.
No,
I'm just gonna.
No, well, if it's in the wall, that's different.
My only thing.
I don't want them in my room.
I don't want them to die.
We lived in New York for a couple summers. I want to know about. I just want to know everything about you.
Totally.
I want to know about. like how you got from LA to New York, I guess via Chicago,
which actually makes
Chicago
sense.
Is in the middle,
right?
Totally.
I think
if you're seeing
on
these two cities as both sides of the country, and then you can kind of see Chicago as kind of being more in the middle of the country. So you know, when you're going from one to the other,
it was just the midpoint when I was walking across.
When you were walking across, and I do want to hear all about your like barefoot walk across
totally.
The country, and that's I guess when you started doing your. Talk about God,
right?
Which
course.
Is what obviously
and incorporating a God perspective into comedy,
yes.
Right? Because a lot of people think about God and it's not funny to them,
mm-hmm.
but
that's what we love about you.
But God is the funniest dude of them all.
God makes me laugh every fucking day. Sorry, every flipping day, I'm laughing.
Laughing
something
at God
said to me.
That Regina Spector, shout out. The real ones know.
I actually don't know. I'm not
about
a real
laughing
one.
With God.
I'm a fake one.
Wow,
it's a good song. Actually.
There's like going to be like three lesbians listening to this that are like, Katie really gets me.
There's only three.
What was I going to say? Oh, we lived in New York for a couple summers,
yeah. And
we did live in an apartment in Crown Heights.
Had mice.
Where there were mice
and cockroach.
Around.
Cockroach. You remember that?
The cockroach. I remember killing and like the feeling of. A back being broken under my foot.
It's brutal.
Just the feeling of being a murderer, you know?
Yeah,
right.
And that
first
changed
time
me.
You killed.
I don't think we killed the mice, did we?
No.
We just,
my
like,
God.
Tried to hit them.
No,
with
we thought there was
brooms.
One, and then right before we left, I remember going to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and there was not just one.
You were many. Making.
There was a scurry of at least 5 to 7. Yeah.
A family.
They're
there
so was
I would
gross.
Still.
They
I'm
are
so
gross.
Not
I think
into insects.
Cute.
Wait, I'm down for rats.
About,
I would way rather
we're talking about mice. I'm talking about mice.
Oh, okay. But then you were talking about cockroaches.
Mice,
yeah,
most,
it was both.
Mice,
it was both.
The most famous insect.
But bugs are
right.
Dude, roaches. Roaches. You're fucking disgusting, and everybody fucking hates you.
Tell them, please.
No,
somebody
some people,
needs to
some
tell
people,
them.
Katie's like, I don't hate the cockroach. What would you do? You killed it.
Yeah, I have killed them before, and I mean, if they're in my house,
I want
yeah.
them to. The thing is, I, you can exist, but I don't want you to live with me.
I really exactly. don't want the cockroaches to live with me, but that's kind of like that's the only one. Other ones, I like dealing with things that are like physically repulsive.
will you?
That's because you're Irish Catholic.
Will
and
you
hate
deal
yourself a
with
little bit?
The bugs come out of the drain. The ones that look like centipedes.
Hate those guys.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
I
not
just think
good
it's
for me.
Good. I think it's like good retraining good my body to like. Okay, so one time my grandpa was we were having a birthday party for him, and we were singing happy birthday to him, and then all of a sudden, like my aunt screams because there was like a giant bug of some sort that was crawling up my grandfather's leg, and my grandfather at this point was like pretty physically incapacitated, so there wasn't anything that he was gonna do about it.
No.
And everyone was just tweaking the fuck out, and I just walked up and
you grabbed
scooped
it.
The bug up and walked it outside.
Well, you once played a show with Katie once played a show with a beetle on her face for like two songs.
That was so funny. This beetle landed on my face, and absolutely. I was like, I wonder what would happen if I just don't do anything about this. And
where was the this?
Beetle? It was in Kansas City.
It was Kansas City.
Grace, do you have any harrowing bug tales?
I had to kill a cockroach kind of recent. I've lived in Prospect Heights for the last 3 years, so pretty close to where you guys were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God bless you.
It is beautiful, beautiful there.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. And I had a cockroach about like a month ago, just one. Haven't had any since, but it was on my counter, which means I don't have the flexibility to step on it. So I did have to use paper towels in my hand.
Oh God.
Like, it was the truly feeling in the body, and also, I remember my girlfriend was on the couch watching Stranger Things, and she'd either had a bad day or was scared. One of the two, I knew that I couldn't tell her there was a cockroach and that I had to do it myself.
Yeah,
so, so brave. It was like really harrowing.
Sometimes you have to butch it up for the bugs.
I know.
I mean, that's literally like the main time.
A total femme in my goddamn stilettos. So it was really hard for me.
Well, but normally, like, if she hadn't had a bad day, like, is there a bug handler? Yeah,
I think that speaks to. Oh, wow.
Wow. For sure. That's good.
Wow. For sure.
How did you meet your girlfriend? Can I ask
We met in college. And
oh my God.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Skidmore College, which is in upstate New York.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we met there. We dated for like 2 years. What'd you say?
Were you gay at the time?
Yeah, yeah. I came out the end of my sophomore year of college.
Okay. Well, what was that like? I want to wait. Okay, first talk about your girlfriend and then go back.
Yeah, we're going to take it
all the way
back.
We have so much gay stuff to talk about as the point of the gay show.
My girlfriend is great. We've been together for like truly 7 years. Broke up for a full year right in the middle. Best thing we ever did.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was so needed. We met when we were 20 and 18, like truly sociopaths. So, I mean, just us, not all 20-year-olds and 18-year-olds, but we both.
Yeah, sure.
Kind of.
But when
so fascinated.
I came out the end of my sophomore year, and I think I thought I was, like, genuinely the straightest person to ever walk the earth. And when I came out, it was so simple and easy, and it was, like, really bizarre. Like, someone told me that her friend, who's a girl, had a crush on me, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm gay now.
Are you actually fucking serious?
Yeah.
And now we're the four most famous lesbians on the planet.
I have so many questions. Okay, how did you... Okay, when was the first time you had a gay thought? And then how did you not know that you were... Like, how come it wasn't talked about when you were playing softball?
Did you have boyfriends and stuff?
Like, I did. I absolutely did not have boyfriends, no.
Hell yeah. But you just thought you were the straightest person?
I had so many crushes. Like... Boys. And realistically, I was having, like, you know, friendship, romantic relationships with my, like, best girlfriends.
Absolutely.
But we would be talking about how hot Bo, Chad, Chase, and Chris were, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
That's actually, you described a gay experience.
Yeah. But wait, what was he going to say?
It was the first time you had a gay thought.
Yeah, first time you had a gay thought, and then how did you get away with it playing softball?
Okay,
being straight.
How did you get away with being so straight?
I was also literally the catcher, which is 100% the gayest position.
Yeah.
Like, it's so crazy. Like,
I played catcher once. I had to. The only time I played softball.
Okay, wow, see?
What?
And look at you now, gay as fuck.
Yeah, I know. Wearing a belt.
That's how you know. See, so for anybody out there who's really curious about what we're talking about, there's some like inside sort of stuff that you only know once you come out. And one of those things is if someone's wearing a belt, that's actually a pretty good indicator that they might be gay.
They're definitely gay.
Anyway.
My first gay thoughts, though, I was like, I'd be like at school talking about how hot Trey Songz is, and then I would go home and I would look up like girls kissing on Skins on YouTube, and I would just like rewatch that over and over and over again.
Naomi and Emily, I'm familiar.
Yes, dude.
Yeah,
is that
Skins? That time of Skins was so fucked.
It was fucked up. I mean, people are like, yeah. Euphoria is so scary. And no, I'm like, Skins was unregulated. They were popping off.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so good. I loved it.
It's great. It's like it's campy now.
I loved
to think about it.
They tried to do an American version, but they like couldn't actually do hard drugs because it was like on MTV or something. So it was just like they would just binge drink and like pass out.
Meanwhile, in actual skin, spoiler alert, people are literally dying and getting murdered. Yeah, like insane.
That was the craziest thing that could ever happen on TV, I would say, of all time.
I think you got me to watch Skins.
Like, it was crazy. Year.
That sounds like another gay thing. Watch. That's another gay thing.
Yeah. Or I guess it would have been sophomore year.
I had to catch you up on gay content. I feel like I was, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So was Skins your main... Then, like, when I think source about, of gay content,
yeah, for like, sure. Like, I never watched The L Word. I did watch The Real L Word, which think is better.
Yep. They were having raw.
They were doing the first episode of
on
that
camera.
Dude, the first episode of that show, like, is like seared into my fucking mind. Like, yeah. That girl, I think Whitney, is like fucking that other girl,
Whitney?
Like raw.
Wait, what do you mean fucking the
girl? Dude, they were like literally having. Like penetrative sex on camera,
whoa.
Dude.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Legends only.
Yeah,
it's
I think I saw Whitney somewhat recently, and it still shook me to my core.
We've seen
it was
a few
as though
of them.
I was seeing
they're
the
in
most
LA.
Famous person.
They're around.
One time we played a show in New York, and this was like when we were living there,
dude.
And it was like one of our only shows
beginning.
We played. The only people who came were our friend Shinies.
Shout out to Shinies.
And then wasn't Becca there?
Yeah, my best friend.
And Katie's best friend, Becca. And then the person who was doing sound was a person who was on The Real L Word. But those were the only three people in the room as we played a show.
It was
and you
legendary.
Would think that we were upset, but actually we were like, this is so cool. We're playing a show for someone that was
on
The Real L Word.
No, because I'm not going to name who it was. We didn't think it, we thought it was funny because on the show, she was a huge asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. This is coming back
it
to
It wasn't
me.
That we thought it was cool. We thought it was funny.
Well.
It was drama.
It was drama. And we lived for the drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was drama. Okay, so you were going home and watching Skins after softball practice and flirting with boys
with your
friends.
I'm going to be honest. I got to go to the bathroom.
Oh, it's time for a break.
Bathroom break.
Bathroom break,
bathroom
I mean.
Break.
Let me start. By right. saying, this show, Gayotic, is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How are you guys doing right now, speaking of BetterHelp?
Not
in.
Good.
Yeah?
Well, you know, living in the world as we're experiencing it now can often be, you know, at times you'll feel elated and at other times you'll feel very depressed. And I think we oscillate between those two emotions frequently, and
absolutely.
It's hard to do that by yourself.
Definitely.
Well, that's why it's so nice to have a therapist that you can talk to help bring you back to what you care about in life or just talk about, you know, the everyday problems of existence.
Yeah.
You know,
we are very pro therapy as a band.
Hell
and
yeah.
I'm also pro like getting help where you can find it. And what I love about BetterHelp is how accessible it is for people to try. I have a lot of friends where BetterHelp was like the first therapist that they
I was
going to
mention a friend of ours who had a BetterHelp, who found his therapist through BetterHelp as an individual that travels quite a bit and
mm-hmm.
needed to be able to do it over the phone. And yeah, it's like starting therapy can be a lot like starting to date and
mm-hmm.
it makes you feel very nervous and you do have to find the right person and
mm-hmm.
BetterHelp can, you know, kind of facilitate that process a little bit.
Definitely. So we encourage all y'all to visit betterhelp.com/gayotic today. And you can get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/gayotic. Go to therapy, y'all. Go.
Please
you're listening
get
help. To Gayotic? Go to therapy.
Put the podcast down and get help with BetterHelp.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
my God, we're back from just the break that wasn't the bathroom.
Okay, I want to pick up talking about, yeah, the after school routine of watching gay stuff, but
would
being,
you eat a
but
snack
being so
before?
Straight.
Yeah, I would. I at some point. Wait, are we on right now?
We're on. We're yeah, always. Yeah. Let me tell you, we're always on.
No, you would never name
I think that like that was like the main thing. I mean, I obviously was watching lesbian porn. That's for
wait.
Sure.
Were you actually
like?
And what were you thinking? I never watched lesbian porn. What were you thinking when you were watching the lesbian porn?
I was thinking like this is gonna be really good info for me to know so that I can be hot for guys.
I
that's
love,
real though. Girls
I love
watch
the,
it.
I love how
straight
the teenage
girls, I mean.
Brain yeah. though. I love how you like not. I love how the gay brain will try to rewrite the story of the gay things that you're doing to make them straight. And I'm so proud of your brain for
yeah. I one
how
of my favorite
figuring that out.
One of my favorite conversations with like one of my still dear best friends from college. Our freshman year, both of us are gay now. And our freshman year, we were like outside at a party smoking a cigarette. And I do not know how it came up, but we both said these sentences. Sometimes I think I'm a lesbian, but I just know that I'm not. But it would be really cool if I was. And I was like, yeah, I actually have the exact same thoughts, but I'm glad that we aren't. But it would be awesome if we were.
And leave it at that. That's
literally
so
like
365 funny.
Days later, both out.
Like having
absolutely
raw penetrative sex on camera.
I don't know if yeah. I was thinking it was awesome, though. I think I was thinking, oh, God,
no,
my life is
over.
No, we knew
too early. We knew too early.
That's the thing. I truly, like, I'm telling you guys, like, even watching Skins, I was not like, I'm gay. Because,
that's
oh, here's
tight.
An important factor is that I didn't okay. know any cool gay people. So sure. I actually knew not cool gay people. Like,
yeah, and there some of them are lame as hell.
At my parents' church was gay. And I Whoa. Hated her. And I also had an English teacher who I hated, and she was gay. So I, like, knew. I was like, I cannot be associated with them.
No.
You know what's really funny? This morning, I thought about my math teacher who was definitely gay, and everyone hated her. And I thought, you know what? I could have been her. You know what I mean?
Yeah. In another life. In a math life.
In another life. It wouldn't be. I don't think I could ever be a teacher.
I could
have been
be
like the janitor
math.
At the high school.
Janitor might not be gay. Too bad.
Gay janitor, gay like you know gym teacher.
Gay, oh, dude,
that,
my gay gym teacher.
Yep.
She hated me. I had to get a medical exemption because I skipped so much class.
Some I'm gonna
really?
Say this. Some
yeah.
some gay adults
I just was smoking weed.
Hate
yeah.
gay kids.
Yeah, dude. Well, she hated me, and I think it was because I was gay, and also
jealous
I didn't want to go to. Yeah, she was jealous of my freedom and that I didn't go to a school. She said that's not okay, and I said actually I need to pass this class.
Did you grew
continue.
Up you grew up in LA? Did you grow up smoking the ganja?
Like so much of it.
Yeah.
And I think that is also a reason why I didn't think I was gay. It was because I was genuinely too busy thinking about how high I was, you know?
Yeah, oh, me sure. too. Well, it's sure. a great distraction. When you actually can't use your brain at all, it really stops you from
right.
being gay.
No, it's yeah. like an amazing form of repression. If anyone is interested in repressing your sexuality, take edibles at like 9 a.m. when you
Absolutely.
Are 16.
and it worked pretty. It works pretty effectively even now to yeah. sort of repress yeah. any to repress any sort of coherent thought.
Well, speaking of keeling over, haha! How'd you get so funny? And when did you decide you wanted to be a comedian? And tell us all about yourself.
Oh my God, that was an unbelievable transition.
Thank you.
So
thank
in that
you.
Moment, the spirit of Barbara Walters actually jumped into Josette's
yeah.
body.
Some could say I'm actually possessed by Barbara Walters. That's another. Well, we can when we talk about God again, we can actually go to
yeah,
my,
exactly.
My exorcism.
I started doing comedy in college. I was in like, you know, the classic like improv and sketch comedy team. And then I moved to Chicago because a friend of mine just like kind of convinced me. But that's where I met Caleb Heron. And
bestie.
He and I were in like I think that we were not in improv one together, but I do think we were in improv two together.
Oh my
wow.
God. That's so crazy. To
love
think
all my
about.
Chicago comedians so much.
So much.
Yeah,
Caleb
seriously.
And Shelby. God bless them.
I know. I know.
Mean,
and then I met
been...
Shelby after I wonder when I met Shelby. Maybe like 6 months after that.
And was Meg Stalter in Chicago at the same time?
She was, but she was like, when I got there, she was like legit, like to me, like so famous already. Like she was like selling out the Hideout, which is a venue there.
Yeah.
And I was like, Caleb and I were like doing improv for like 6 audience members who were also doing improv, you know?
Yeah, sure.
But then like things must have happened kind of fast for you.
Well, then Caleb started getting viral on Twitter, and then he was like, you have to just start posting on Twitter. And at that point, we were like, it's so easy to go viral. But in hindsight, we were only getting like 3,000 likes, but it was like crazy.
Viral's a mindset.
Yeah, it
is. Viral's a mindset.
Totally.
And I think viral, it can change on how viral you actually become. You've seemed like you've actually become exceptionally viral.
I was talking about this yesterday, how, and I've told the story a couple of times, I don't know if ever on the podcast, but I have never felt like as much of a high in our career, like any career highlight. We've had a lot of career highlights at this point, let me tell you. But I have not felt the same high as I did when we got posted on the fader.
Yeah.
In 20.
No one, and no one even knows 15? What the fader is anymore. In a way.
I mean,
but was the that fader would peak? Like to.
Like that was my peak. Like that was the most important thing that has ever happened to
it was
this
a big
band
deal.
In terms of a chemical reaction inside of my body.
Just being
and the
like,
way that it felt.
Now we're old crusties.
It does seem to be like the internal drugstore of my body has diminishing returns.
Well, you're older. You're older.
Yeah, I'm older, but it's like we're more I guess I'm glad that we do this. We do our career for other reasons other than just the feeling thrill. High off of going viral.
So when was the first time you got high?
Yeah, from going viral. What was your big, moment where you were like, I am such a success. I'm going to make it.
I feel like there are like so many moments that feel like that. But like my first like literal viral on the internet, I like posted this video that I remember I posted and I was like, this is 100% the least funny video I've ever posted online. And it went like the most viral. It was like me talking about being in a porn with my like sister and mom and dad. Like it was fucking crazy.
I've seen this one.
So how was the porn?
Well, the way I describe it was really beautiful.
It was really moving, actually.
It was like you being like kind of weren't you upset that you got left out?
Yeah,
of,
like my
porn
my dad, my stepmom, and my brother or sister filmed the porn without me.
Yeah,
but
that is funny.
Most of my videos, I'm like laughing. Like I'm like, this is hilarious. Yeah. That video, I was like, oh my god, I'm really like, I'm about to embarrass myself online. And at the end of the day, I kind of did, and always am.
Do you ever like feel regret? Like after you post something online, because I feel like you have to be like this thick skinned and not give a fuck.
Yeah, people be saying crazy shit.
They be saying crazy shit, but I have like a pretty good audience. Like the people that follow me are like very supportive, and whenever I get crazy comments, it's because someone is taking my video so out of context.
Yeah,
that like they are probably really dumb. And so I can't take it too personally. Like, I got hate on that video because people thought I was being fucking serious. But, like,
well,
what am
I
going to
do? Feel left out, too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They've been in my shoes.
How could you not?
I feel like I've been following you for a while now. But I do find that like, the people in the comments are, like, there's certain comedians where, like, they've somehow curated an audience that also, like, are in on the bit. And like, get it. And everyone's like, yeah, everybody seems to get it and also want to like be in on the joke.
No, that makes
sense. Maybe it's the gay community.
I think it might be our community.
Based in Chicago, too.
Chicago, yeah, maybe.
I mean, there's something nice about like the idea that other people who are watching your stuff like are also funny, you know, and are. I mean, maybe a lot of them are comedians themselves, but I think, I mean, I like that about like this larger group of friends that are like people that do comedy and are taking inspiration from each other.
No, I agree. I also like do remember the day that whoever is the Muna account on Twitter, like I remember my feeling of when you guys followed me back.
It's probably Naomi.
I was like so.
That was a big high for you.
I want to check, but I do think.
Check it.
Yeah, like doesn't that still feel exciting when like someone follows you that you look up to or that you like listen to or whatever?
It's cool, yeah.
In a way, that's actually the only kind of thing that like.
It's nice. Well,
feels nice.
Totally. Like, it's so nice to feel like a part of a. And I feel like we're still kind of in the early stages of that, but like, it's nice to be at a place in your career as an artist or whatever, where like you do sort of just start like being able to have interactions with people that you would admire and whose like work you admire. I mean, like someone like you and like comedians totally included, like it's so cool to have like our paths all be able to cross and it feel really natural. I think that is like such a perk of having
the job that
we have.
I worked with John Early on Search Party 2 summers ago.
Legendary.
And I am like truly, I think that like him and Kate Berlant are like so important to my comedic voice. And I worked with him like every single day for 3 months. And I think every other day I was like, hey, just want to let you know that you really are a big inspiration for me. I knew that like it reached a point like a month in where he was like, you don't have to keep saying that. But like my brain just had to keep telling him that.
You know, totally. In a way, I think I have that disease where I actually need to say something if I'm processing how I'm feeling, I think 100 times for it to actually get out of my system.
Exactly.
And sometimes it never actually stops.
Right. I do think, I mean, John Early is so funny and that completely makes sense to me. I also feel like just on that note, like, I don't know, I'm never mad when someone's giving me a compliment.
Agreed.
It's like, thank you. Yeah. That is so nice. Like,
I think it's nice.
It's nice. Like, it's just, and also it's just real. Like, you can't, you know, we can't go up to a very successful musician that we admire and not be like that you're you. Like, what the fuck? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
I think the thing I definitely like love being able to tell somebody whose work I admire that
totally.
I admire their work.
Definitely. Yeah.
The thing that really disturbs me is like that I get possessed by a demon sometimes when I see people whose work I simply know. But don't necessarily love.
And you want to say
and
something.
And I will still say something.
You turn into like what's the Mean Girls scene where she's like, I love your top and she hates it.
And then it's like, have you ever seen such a fugly
human,
top?
I'm
like, have you ever seen
nature.
Such a fucking awful special in your life?
The Winnetka like, jumps
but
out.
But you have to do that. Out. You have to do
Why?
That.
Why do you have to do that?
Like to be nice.
In comedy, it's like I'll do like a show and like I'm backstage most of the time, so maybe I don't get to even see someone set, but I'm obviously going to say afterwards, like, you were so fucking funny, you know?
Totally.
That's how could you not?
Because I would want someone to do that to me, even if they didn't see it, and
okay,
I wouldn't care.
I hear what you're saying about, like, sometimes you have to say good job to someone whose set you didn't see, but, like,
I don't think you
when
could
you
ever
see
that.
Someone else do that, you think they are a sociopath.
Yeah.
Like, I think
you
that
see
this
someone else
is.
Do that,
no.
You're thinking,
imagine
okay,
that's
I'm
my,
never
like,
believing
entire
a word.
Reputation. Everyone's, like, listens to this, and they're like, we're not surprised. We know she just lies constantly.
She just lie. Good job.
I feel like there's a difference between going like great set to then being like great set, it's me by the way.
Yeah, that's
nice to meet
me.
You know what
weird.
I mean, like that's insane.
I loved it,
but that's
okay.
So celebrity, you know.
Yes.
What I mean, like that's like so, delusional celebrity that I choose to love, you know.
So wait, what? Okay, I have two questions. What's your favorite part about being a celebrity, and then what's the part of your job that you hate the most?
Hell,
what's
yeah.
the part of your life that you fucking hate? You hate more than anything.
I don't feel like. What is my favorite part about being a celebrity?
Like an A-lister. Sort
yeah,
of.
Like an A-lister.
Yeah, I think just like, being an A-lister, staying in Leonardo DiCaprio's home and Brad Pitt.
Absolutely.
And
Yeah, I stay at all their houses.
Wait, what was the second question?
No, what's a part of your job that you don't like?
Oh, so this is actually really interesting, and some of my team may be mad at me for saying this, but
I'm ready.
I do not love doing stand-up, but I do it, and I kind of have to do it.
I hear that.
What do you identify, okay, as an artist, this is actually a serious question. Like, how do you identify yourself? Like, where do you see yourself?
Is it more
what
like
you do?
Like sketch and like comedy writing? I've seen your spec scripts. They're very funny. What
like,
does that
I
mean?
I guess so. Yeah, I love to write porn,
like fake
porn
scripts.
They're actually really beautiful if you read them. But I feel like I would identify as like a comedian and an actor, but like in that I have to do stand up. But maybe it's how like some musicians feel about touring. Like
some people
I
don't
just
wanna
would
play.
Love to be in my bed at 9 p.m.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
I do like performing. But I do want to be in bed by 9 p.m. It's like this. I do love it's in some ways. It's the only thing I'm actually really good at in music.
That's not true.
It's the one thing I don't have to think at all about. But I would. Sure. I would rather be in bed at maybe 8. Actually,
I think you just want to have early.
Does
shows.
That make festivals yeah. fun then? Because you're like performing at 1 p.m. and it's over.
I'm gonna say the realest thing and
that anyone's
ever
said.
Heard. I really don't. I love. Okay, there's. I hate the act of playing a festival in terms of what I'm expected to do because it's the most exhausting and grueling thing. But I love to play a festival stage.
Mm-hmm.
Like the actual interviews.
I think
and
you'd
stuff.
Be pretty hard pressed to find like any single type of show that Joe couldn't come up with complaints about.
Well, think of okay. You it's all the sand. It's yeah. all the dust in the sand inside
oh.
my face.
Yeah,
yeah. There's
oh
a lot of dirt.
I didn't even think about that. With
sometimes
Coachella.
You're sometimes oh you're really in the elements, and sometimes the sun. You're playing at a weird time. The sun is beating down on your gear.
The catering
it's so
is
hot
like
that it
one
breaks your fucking
sausage
instrument.
Link.
Yeah,
it's just so yeah. smoking hot outside.
But I do love. I love to play.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in Chicago, I did go to Lollapalooza for one day one year.
Yeah,
and,
crazy.
That's what I do, actually. I go to a festival for one day, and that's actually how you get the best festival experience.
Yes.
But there
I
was
agree,
a softball
actually.
Field that multiple musicians played on. And uh-huh. I will say those two of the musicians I remember were King Princess and Hayley Kiyoko. So that was actually they were putting them into – they were pigeonholing them as gay
yes.
and putting them
on the
yeah.
softball
field.
Yeah.
Well, legally speaking, that's the only shit. Place they would legally be allowed to play.
Of course, of yeah, course, of right. course. And be accepted.
yeah.
But, yeah, so for me it's like the thing – I just like – if I'm in bed by 9 p.m., that's my absolute preference. But, like, I do love getting high off the audience.
Sure. And comedy shows are late, often
late.
Really
they're
late.
Really, really
sometimes
late.
They're later than even 7 o'clock.
Right. Well, this yeah. is how I also wish I was a musician sometimes because isn't it sick they're singing it back to you?
Yeah, that is pretty helpful.
In a way, it saves you whenever you're like in a low place.
They have
it's
your back.
Very,
yeah,
it's very
versus
meaningful.
Like nothing is more insane than somebody trying to be involved in your stand-up set.
Oh, well, I actually like cannot deal with hecklers. If I have a heckler, I like actually get on my hands and knees and I'm like, hey, sweetie, like do this to the next person. Like, I don't have the skill set to be able to do this.
Yeah.
I can't believe I feel like I've only seen like I feel like Caleb. It wasn't even like a heckler. It was like sometime at Big Wig.
Didn't someone just say they randomly were like Kansas City?
And he
was like, sure. And then they said something else. They were like mad or something. Like, oh, do you remember? No, you weren't there. Do you remember that?
I remember,
the girl?
Yeah.
This is different. So this is a story about a heckler that we saw from the audience that actually has an interesting twist. This girl was doing a set and one of her jokes was about how she like I think got like a breast reduction or something
or
did something to her boobs and then was joking about them still like not being that great or whatever, and then someone in the audience was like, I got a boob job. And then she was like, what? And then the person just like said something fucking random. And then when the girl was like, okay, I'm tried to like deal with the heckler or whatever and kind of like took the piss out of them a little bit in a way that was like harsh but fair and funny. And then the person like made this face of like, what the fuck? And then got up and like was kind of looking around like with a stink face looking at everybody like, God, what gives? Walked out. And then we found out later that she was high as balls on mushrooms.
Yeah, she was on shrooms.
So she thought she was having a private conversation with that person.
So that's actually nobody's fault.
That's no one's fault at all.
It's just a huge misunderstanding.
Is it possible to have a heckler at a concert? Like, no, at the end of the day.
Yeah, definitely.
Really? Yeah, it's a, but if it depends.
If the audience is small enough or, like, the room. I mean, I think we've probably dealt with it more, like, maybe as an opening act. We've had an opening act that has had a heckler at one of our shows, and that really fucking sucked.
Remember with Marika, or was it just you and me?
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
We've seen hecklers at shows. Yeah, I think it's, like, if it's a smaller venue. I mean, if at that show that we played for just two of our friends and the person from the real L Word.
It would be interesting if someone was heckling
easily could have heckled at that show.
Sometimes people say crazy stuff, but to be honest, we can't fucking
hear them
because
we
have basically like the most effective earplugs ever.
Yeah, we're heckled
ears.
Proof.
I always wonder about that. There's no mic on there, though. You guys can't whisper to each other, right?
We do have a mic on stage that you guys can't hear.
But not through the ears. We can't talk through the ears, but there's
But it's only used if for an emergency. Not emergency, but where it's but like, you know where what it's like my guitar isn't working.
You know what sucks, okay. Grace? Is like, so imagine you're me in between songs.
I'm imagining.
Imagine you're me.
Every day
as
awesome.
You would do every day. Yeah. And in between songs, you're gonna hear in your ear like 40 seconds, and that means you have 40 seconds to like say whatever you're gonna say.
Katie has to say the most meaningful thing in 40
seconds.
Just
like talk about how you went to therapy and like changed your life, and then wrote this next song. So you're, and you can't like just say word for word the same thing every night because that wouldn't be authentic. So you have to you're kind of making up something to take you into the next song, and then you're hearing in your ears the click of the tempo of the next song, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you're hearing, my guitar isn't working! My guitar isn't working! But the audience cannot hear that. You can hear that, and you're still talking, and you're actually in the middle of your sensitive monologue, and you have to keep going with your monologue.
And also, on background a little bit, that mic, when you're saying something into the mic, it doesn't feel very loud. But when someone else is saying something into the mic, it feels as though they are screaming.
They are screaming at you.
I'm screaming.
So that's like some of the most intense moments of my life is when I have to like make it seem like, and it's sometimes it's not just my guitar isn't working. It's like the amp is on fire. It's like it feels like there's like serious emergencies going on stage.
I feel like I'm being targeted, even though I don't know if I am.
I
speak very clearly because Nick can only hear me at certain moments. And so when I can't hear, I'm saying it like three or four times just to make sure I'm heard.
I think the solution will be having a band talk back mic and having one.
Now that we figured out logistically. Yeah. Yeah, we're glad that we talked this out with you to figure out what we realistically need to do.
The only thing I can actually personally relate it to is when I watch Punk'd and they're like Ashton Kutcher is like speaking into someone's ear piece.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I can't say what's being said to me in my earpiece.
Exactly. Well, you could actually if you want full transparency with your audience, which I guess you don't.
Ooh,
funny to bring up being authentic when in reality your authentic
exactly.
experience
it's really
is
interesting when your whole thing is kind of a sham.
Yeah, it is.
Who knew I was going to expose us like this?
Fakes.
Absolutely fakes.
Can you tell us a little story time?
Podcast
so
going.
I know that you thought that you were straight for a really long time, but was there a period of time like growing up that you can remember where you thought, okay, there's a possibility that I might be gay? And if so, did you experience what we have come to call gay shame?
That's really interesting.
Or were you kind of like, that could be tight?
I mean, I've loved being gay since the moment I decided to be.
That's so sick.
Wait. Was the girl who liked you your current girlfriend?
No. It was just this my friend's friend. I didn't really ever know her at all. But she did teach. She did like immediately make me gay by me reading a text that she had a crush on me.
Powerful.
Wait, was it the attention? Like, what made you snapped in and it was
here's
like,
the
homo.
Thing. When I got that text, I was really, also really drunk. And it was something, it was just like euphoric to hear someone had a crush on me. And that's why being gay is a choice. No, I don't know what it was. Like, but I think I woke up the next morning and I was like, wow, that made it really simple. And then I just started dating girls. And it was, I mean, unbelievable. Like, I just remember when I was having sex with guys, like, feeling truly, like, nothing emotionally or physically. And, like, the first time I held a girl's hand, I, like, got full body chills and felt like I was going to, like, float away, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, so no shame and just absolute glory.
I think I felt shame probably, like, as a kid, like when I thought that I couldn't be gay because gay people were weird, I think that has to be shame.
Yeah, I think everyone in this room probably had.
This is why representation is so important, guys, because the gay people in your life could be huge losers.
Well, that's why it's
important, cool, like, to look up to.
Yeah. No, it's important to have people like us in the world to show that gay people can be cool.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I really didn't think they were cool.
Okay, this is a maybe. No, it's related. Have you read the lesbian master doc that people are sending around from TikTok? Have you guys heard about this show?
No. You told me about this.
It's on lesbian TikTok. Okay, basically, it is a long, like, Google doc that is being circulated amongst the youths that helps people determine whether or not they are lesbians by sort of engaging with them. I think there's, like, things that are both, like, good and things that I would change about it. But on the whole, it's basically just about, like, the way that you might not think that you're a lesbian due to the patriarchy and the presence of compulsory heterosexuality. And they include, like, helpful sort of things of, like, examples that I'm doing a horrible job of explaining this.
But it'll be like, attracted to a boy.
You're attracted to a boy maybe because your friend finds him attractive.
Yeah.
Or you're attracted to men with, like, very specific qualities.
Or, like, did you hear that this boy finds you attractive?
Yes, totally. Exactly. Like, there's all these sort of, like, it's like you might still be a fucking lesbo, you know? Like,
dude, I think 50% of the population is going to come out as,
like, I know,
gay.
I know.
Yeah, it's 100%.
It's real. And it's like you might have had sexual experiences with men, you might think that you're bisexual, but there's all of these sort of insidious ways that the patriarchy and compulsory heterosexuality is so ingrained within our culture that it makes people truly believe that they are attracted romantically and sexually to men when they might not be.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. I suggest people go on and check it out. You can literally look up a lesbian master doc. But some of the stuff that you were saying about, like, your experiences with, like, your friends talking about boys and, like, having crushes on boys reminds me of things that are discussed in the master doc.
Oh, sometimes whenever I think a, like, male celebrity is hot, I'm like, I really need to break down why I think he's hot. Because I think it's just because I thought he was hot when I was 15, you know?
Yeah. Sure.
But I love that doc. I'm going to look it up because it really takes the, like, BuzzFeed Are You Gay quiz to the next level.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for.
It literally is that. And I think, honestly, if you've ever Googled how do you know if you're gay,
the fact
that you're Googling it is how you know.
Definitely.
Yeah. Anything I ever, to be honest, that is the truest statement I've ever heard.
Wow,
anything I have ever Googled, it's true.
Yeah. Don't say that.
You
to
know
me.
What I mean?
Well, yeah, anything I've that. Ever Googled. Is the moon real?
Sometimes Google I really account? Get worried about that, like, with what I, because I'm Googling some things that I actually don't want you guys to see.
Then, dude, log out of the Where's Muna on your, just on Chrome.
That's
you guys
like
share
a step that I'm not
what
gonna
are you
do.
Talking
we
about?
We share an email
because we haven't shared email, and so sometimes, like, I don't know how this works. Actually,
it's just
can
like the default. I don't fucking know.
It's our default browser because we share an email, and so we can access what each other is searching.
Oh, that's
certain
crazy.
Times. And
but
it's
like,
on accident.
Isn't that really violent?
On the Google homepage.
I was at Disneyland and I was having the best fucking time. And then I get a text from Naomi sharing what I Googled the whole day. You do have it.
I
know that you
it.
Do. I bet you I could find it if not.
Does private browser not work on there?
Private browser does work, but I'm just not going on a private browser.
I'm just like raw dogging what is going on with my body.
Okay, you know what? Did you find it already?
No, but I have some other things that they've Googled recently. Joe's in Mexico and Googled Mucinex in Spanish, which really makes me laugh.
My pants. I really need to find this.
I'm going to find it.
It's probably in Louis.
How often are you looking, Naomi, at what we're Googling?
I stopped. Not that
I'm going to get this with my friends. This sounds amazing.
I Googled some crazy things around the time of my yeast infection a couple weeks ago.
Oh, no.
Did you Google, can you get pregnant from a yeast infection?
I know. Okay, I can tell you what some of the Googles were.
Okay, I've gone back as far as I can, and I fucking can't find it, which is such a bummer. But one of the things Joe Googled was, there were about 5 to 6 different Googles related to Disneyland.
Yeah, I said.
And one of them was, how many people are at Disneyland in a day? Just a curiosity. One of them was
Tortilla California Adventure.
I'm gonna piss my pants. Tortilla California Adventure.
I feel like
we need to.
You can't share it now, and it just needs to be like for this episode. It should just be a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Okay. Of what?
When you actually do.
Honestly, Mucinex, and then shortly after that, Mucinex in Spanish is pretty good.
I was trying.
No, I know.
You know what the thing is? She didn't even take the medication I bought.
I'm on Mucinex right now. Shout out
to Mucinex expectorant.
Okay, can you briefly tell us a little bit more about your relationship? Because I think that's very cool that you guys have been together for so long, and also that you broke up for a year. Did you guys go to couples therapy?
Or was it just having sex with other people therapy?
Yeah, I was just having sex with other people.
I think,
what's the vibe of the relationship?
Yeah.
Well, we broke up for a year,
both dated other people, and we did go, I think we went like 2 months without talking. But, like, after that, it just was, like, we'd FaceTime. The FaceTimes would get more frequent to a point where it was, like, okay, we are bordering on emotional cheating. Maybe we should break things off with other people. Uh-huh. And then we got back together. But I don't know. I really, like, I'm, like, we have not been to couples therapy, but we are now both in therapy respectively. Separately. And yeah, cool. I do also think that was a huge fucking game changer. Because we'd never been in therapy at the same time. It was always, like, one of us or the other. It really, like, my God, it does wonders. Just to be able to know that if you have a fucked up fight and you think you're right, you can talk to someone about it.
And realize that you're actually totally wrong.
I know. It's a beautiful thing.
Sounds bad.
What, to know that you're wrong? I think it's just, like, to be
not
honest.
Not to know, but to realize.
Your partner is your mirror. You know, that's like they're your thing that you learn about, like, what your childhood trauma that you're acting out on them is. Yeah. Like, you're meeting someone at the same place
and
that you're at.
And that must be especially true for y'all if you guys met at such a young age.
Right. It's funny, like, whenever I think about when, like, our first 2 years dating or whatever, I'm like, we were such different people. Like,
I think about that with my girlfriend too.
Yeah, I do. It's like trippy. I feel like I'm dating a whole new person, even though, like, all those obviously memories and everything are there, but it's like, and that's, like, so nice just from a maturity perspective to be like, oh my God, we're so distant from our younger selves. Like, thank God.
I mean, it's also really cool because I feel like I've kind of had this assumption of, like, yeah, people change. That's very beautiful, but it often means that you're not going to stay in love. Like,
I think
sometimes you're in love with who the person used to be, and I think that's really special if you guys have both grown and become different people and you're still.
Well,
you know,
I think she would say the same about me. I wouldn't be able to date the person that I was previously dating.
Yeah.
And 100. There's no way she would have been able to date me. Like, I don't know.
What were your thingies? Can you say? Like, what were your thingies that made you difficult to date?
I think that, like, just so emotionally immature. Like, we were both the first girls we'd ever dated also.
Holy cow.
Like, a huge factor. Or just a first relationship in general. It doesn't really have to be.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
First real relationship.
First real relationship, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, she would actually disagree. She had a high school boyfriend. Never mind it. I can't discredit that important info.
I sometimes wonder, like, whether to count my high school boyfriend or not.
It was always funny. I know straight people who don't even count their high school boyfriends as boyfriends.
Well, because it's a form of insanity. Like, yeah. being in love in high school is just, you're just being insane.
But I'm still jealous of it. Well, I mean, I'm not from a boy's perspective, but I wish so badly I knew I was gay in high school. I went to an all-girls school. I would have had so much fun.
Getting it
Damn.
In.
Wow.
I've had
You never kissed a girl in high school?
No.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
I remember my friend and I would like almost kiss because she wanted to teach me how to kiss.
Can you
which is so ultimately,
but we never did. But it was always, it was constantly like horny and weird, you know?
Do you still talk to this person?
No.
Wow. So they were your horny friend.
Yeah, truly.
Even that is really gay. I hate
having
to say
a horny friend and then
yeah.
it's very
not
Victorian
talking to them anymore.
We would like sext a guy together. Like that is gay. Just because there's a dude involved doesn't make it straight, babe.
Oh my God. So Grace, for the last segment of this pod, we read a review of our famous podcast, and then we ourselves are going to review that review.
It's to encourage people to leave reviews.
And it is to encourage people to leave reviews. Genius. So, and you can feel free to weigh in because, you know, a lot of people have like strong opinions about these reviews when they hear them. Okay. So if you do, just shout it out. So here's the review.
Okay.
Today.
This is a 5-star review from Plus Jamma is Encore.
Whoa. And
wait. No, one more time. One more
I
time.
I think it's French.
Oh. I think it's Plus Jamma Encore.
We're gonna go on and say Plus.
I like
Plus
Jamma.
Plus Jamma.
Sorry, I took Spanish.
Plus Jamma Encore.
Okay,
10 out of 10 already.
I've listened to 2 minutes of this podcast so far, and I'm ready for more. Love the music.
Wow.
Sorry to laugh, Plus Jamma.
Love the music these amazing people produce and can't wait to hear more from them in whatever form. Confusion is underrated.
That's what's up. See, that's a good way to end that.
What, confusion is underrated?
Because this is known as one of the most famously confusing podcasts
it's
that
true.
Have ever been made.
I mean, I think it reflects being alive.
And society at large, sort
absolutely.
Of, that what
I'm
we're
confused
living through.
And
every
they get
moment
a special
of every day.
Shout out for the gender neutrality in that review.
Yeah,
and
they
it
do.
Not being a, these ladies are so adorable.
These ladies absolutely slay.
That's my review that you're talking about. That's mine.
Yeah.
lipstick, kissy, kissy.
Love
girls
these ladies.
Are sexy on the podcast.
Yeah.
Plus Jamma.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Plus Jamma.
I love it. Will you, Plus
Sorry.
Jamma, will you tell us how it actually is said? Can you type it out phonetically?
Plus Jamma.
Plus Jamma.
Plus Jamma.
P-L-U-S-J-A-M-A-I-S. Okay, Grace, we have to, oh God.
Want
to
say
yeah.
I love you.
I'll see you guys in
oh,
New York.
Oh, wait, we got to say
yeah,
our
come.
I love yous
Oh,
really
yeah,
quick.
Okay, so at the end of every episode, we do this.
I can't do this every
Thank
episode.
We
so
are, we have to. This is actually the sweetest thing we do.
Thanks
can't.
So much for joining us. Love you all, and I love you, Katie.
Thank you for being with us, Grace, and I love you guys, and I love you, Josette.
I love you, Naomi.
Naomi's closed their
Come
eyes
on,
every
Grace.
Time.
Love you that... guys.
Wait, you gotta say, yeah, you're gonna say you. I love you to yourself.
I love Grace and I love you all.
Absolutely.
I
well,
gotta go
fuck
pee
yeah.
so bad.
Okay. Thank you
I
for
had to pee. Thank you so much
An
for
earnest
being on,
thank
Grace.
You for coming on. This was so funny.
Oh my God,
and fun.
I was so truly honored. Thank you guys for
okay,
having
good.
Me.
Gayotic is a production of HeadGum.
Created and hosted by us, the band Muna, but mostly we're known as the famous podcasters from the podcast Gayotic.
Our producer is Anya Kanevskaya.
And our associate producer is Ali Khan.
If you want to prove that you love us, feel free to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or wherever people review podcasts. We might even pick your review and talk about it if it's a really good and really nice one.
You can subscribe to Gayotic on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher,
wherever you get your podcasts.
New episodes drop on Hump Day, Wednesday. One of the greatest days of the week, baby.
That's right. We do this regularly because we have fucking discipline.
You're listening to our voices right now, which sound pretty good. But guess what? The face cards don't decline either. So head over to our Instagram at whereismuna and like one of our photos. I mean, truly any dopamine hit we can get is helpful.
Meet you right back here next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.